plagued a potential nugget.
And if I may go back in time, Rama, one of the pieces I'm curious about is how some of the formative experiences shape us. I do believe a lot of who we are gets baked very early on. So if you had to really rewind the clock back to your school days and college days and your growing up years, are there three, four things, either around parenting or around the climate in which you grew up, which still influence you as a person?
Yeah, well, I'm not as young as you, so I can't think that far back. It's such hazy memories, but I can tell you about screwed up parenting. So, for example, I came from a family that pushed you in the sense of, it's what my daughter and I call the "where's the other 2% syndrome." Hmm. Which meant that if you got 98 in maths, they asked you why you didn't get 100.
In that community, it's called the "where's the centum syndrome."
Centum, correct, centum.
In fact,
when my daughter was little and she said, my father told her that I got 120 out of 100 in maths because I did all the multiple choice questions. And she just looked at him and said, didn't your mommy tell you you have to read the question paper properly first? But so as a result of that, I think there's a relentless push. So I was just telling someone yesterday that I could give a talk and 98 people in the room could say it was fantastic. And two people could say, yeah, well, I don't know, it wasn't your usual. And that 2% could tank me. Hmm. So on the negative side, it means you're an insecure overachiever, struggling all the time with that balance, which I've over a period of time tried to work hard on reducing. On the positive side, it means that you're always raising the bar for whatever it is, and you're just moving. I think that's really, and also I think it's about chasing glory more than chasing money. Mm-hmm. I think that also comes from the kind of roots that you and I share, where you're worshiping at the altar of knowledge, and you know you're supposed to. And the third thing is, you're always told that you can't be proud about what you've achieved because it's all an accident of either birth or fate that you have either the brains or
Ovarian lottery.
They say, yeah, that's right, the birth lottery, or Saraswati dances on your tongue, but she's dancing on your tongue, right? Nothing to do with you.
In the work I do with leaders, I find it fascinating to see how much of who we are gets baked in the early years. Recognizing that and figuring out what is hardwired and what's easier to change is often helpful as we grow. It was also interesting to hear Rama use the term insecure overachievers, a term I've heard used in McKinsey quite often. It's interesting she mentions it because when you're a part of the organization, you get cues from the system along the way to tell you that despite what you think, you're doing all right. But if you're on your own, and more specifically if you're playing the monetizing IP game that Rama talks about earlier, than the retailing time game, there can be a passage of play where you could be a nervous wreck because you don't get feedback from the people around you. So just watching out for it, putting guardrails and maybe having mini deadlines or mini points of feedback might help you cope with the situation better till you start getting feedback from the market that you're really delivering value. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com or look for the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or one of the other podcast apps.